In the studio, I've got our community board chairperson, Dennis Amor. Morning, Dennis.
Morning, Aaron.
How are we doing today?
Yeah, good, thanks. Another lovely day in Raglan, so good to be here with you.
It is, and no rain, and everyone likes a day with no rain at the moment. And let's talk about the rain and the cyclone and what we've seen happening over on the East Coast. I think the last time I spoke to you, we were talking about the need to, and you were trying to get on with organising a proper civil defence plan for the community. Do you feel an extra sense of motivation now, having watched that over the last few weeks?
Well, I guess yes and no. I was quite surprised at, you know, how much we did have actually in place in Raglan and that sort of thing, with Whangaroa Health and Pūhakana Marae coming on board and making sure they're available, take people, and things like that. So, yeah, but we do, looking at the extent of what happened on the East Coast, we definitely need to have something where Raglan can stand alone if it ever has to be in that situation.
Yeah. And so there's you, Lisa Thompson, our councillor, and Ross Wallace, new board member, trying to get that sorted.
Yeah, we are, and we're working with Scott Bolt from council on that, who's new to council, but he came out of the Auckland Fire Service and he's got a bit of experience in emergency relief and things like that. So hopefully with him on board, we'll be able to push this ahead fairly quickly.
Yeah, and something that I noticed, and I would notice being involved in radio, was just the issues with communications over on the East Coast was clearly a major problem.
Yeah, I guess once they lost, you know, the power supplies and transmission lines and the network, Unison's network started to fall apart and things like that, then obviously everyone's without power, so they're reliant on portable generators or cars or whatever to find out what's going on, and just due to the scale of it, you know, it's inevitable that a lot of people won't be able to connect with other people other than their immediate neighbours.
Yeah. I imagine two generations ago we wouldn't have thought so much of it, but the ability to be connected to people, anyone, anywhere around the world at any time these days, that people, they probably felt the cutoff, they felt being cut off a lot more than we would have a couple of generations ago, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, well, I guess a couple of generations, even when I was small, you know, you were relying on a telephone line, it was probably a party line, and things like that. And the only communication you had outside was your radio and the telephone line. There wasn't any other IT around.
Yeah, and I remember when we moved to Raglan in year 2000, for instance, the power cuts would happen quite regularly out here. So we've got used to really smooth, reliable service and over the last few decades.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. The well network has improved in the last 10 years and that sort of thing, although I believe we've still only got one major line out to Raglan, so it wouldn't be hard to lose that if there was a slip in one where the transmission line goes over the deviation.
Yeah, I think there's one above ground and one below ground, but I think they're in pretty much the same place. So, yeah, a big slip would...
Yeah, could cause us some problems, yep.
Yeah. So, all right, so that's the civil defence. Hey, mate, we're just doing an interview at the moment.
Hi.
Yeah. But you're welcome to sit down and have a listen. Road's opening on Saturday.
Tomorrow?
Yep, tomorrow.
Yeah,
yep.
Thank you.
All righty. So the down at the wall, that is good news about the road, isn't it, Dennis?
It is good news about the road. They've done a fantastic job in getting that open in, 4 weeks and things like that. So all credit to the teams that have been working on there and the contractors that came on board to assist and things like that, and to all the engineering staff, you know, that were involved. Plus, obviously, the landowner who's made the land available at short notice for them to put the deviation around the existing slip in place. So we thank him very much for that effort too.
Well, I found out that the GM Hickton, who's been posting on Facebook, is a lady called Ginny. One thing I noticed, like people say donating land, yeah, okay, a little bit of land off the farm, but it actually cuts into like where their car park area is, and there's a few work buildings up there as well. So,
and obviously quite a lot of pine trees had to be removed and things like that. So, yeah, it's definitely going to impact on their lifestyle and things like that. It'll be a lot noisier now, I would imagine, for them at their house as well.
Well, there's going to be a work crew there for quite a long time, isn't there?
Yeah, I would imagine we're looking, several months to have the slip itself permanently repaired, and I don't know what. And I see this morning Waka Kotahi is still saying that it's moving, so geotech work's still going on. So, I don't know if they've come up with a solution. I believe they have let a contract for the repair, so it'll be several months before that happens.
Yeah. Do you know if they're trying to? They want to get the road back to the original straightness down that bit?
No, I haven't. I'm not aware. I haven't been informed on what sort of what the remedial repair will be.
I mean, it may be that we never get back to that because they may just decide it's not stable enough there.
Yeah, quite possible. Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you fill it up with concrete or something ridiculous, which we're not going to do probably. No. So it'll be a lot of concrete. Down at the wharf, things are happening down at the wharf. If you just heard my news bulletin, some of that was actually written from what Dennis told me sitting next to me as I was typing. But the other good thing about State Highway 23 reopening, of course, is they can get on. And what are they bringing in that's very large that they just didn't bother trying to bring around Ohutia Road?
I guess there'll be the sections of the... Well, there'll be the piles for a start. There's five piles to be put into the ground. That'll be... I'm not sure what length they are, but they're reasonably long.
That's for the pontoon?
Two for the pontoon and three for the walkway.
Okay.
Then there'll be the sections of the walkway which are manufactured off-site. So we've got 30 to 40 metres of walkway. So there'll be fairly long sections of that. I would imagine they'll come in 10-metre lengths or something, or maybe longer. And then there's the pontoon itself, which overall is 16 metres long, but it's probably fabricated in three or four sections.
Right.
So all that has to come over the road now.
Okay. So the walkway, that's the silos are overlooking the walkway, that side? The western side?
Nothing on the western side will be happening immediately.
Oh, okay.
We're only looking at the eastern side. So it's basically from the boat ramp around sort of 30 metres, 40 metres, following the shoreline around. There'll be a walkway around there with a ramp down back onto the beach at the end of that for anyone who wants to take their kayak around that way.
Yep.
And then there'll be the walkway out to the pontoon that comes off that. Rock walkway.
Okay. And so for the eastern side, we know that the government said yes, there's money for that. Have they given the council the money? When does that happen?
I assume now that council's let a contract that council does have the money.
Okay.
I haven't been formally told that.
Right. So that's okay. So they've let a contract to actually do the physical work, or they need to do more design work?
No, for the eastern walkway and the pontoon, all the work's done, all the consenting's done. And that sort of thing, so that's moving ahead.
On the western walkway,
there's still some final design work, detailed design work to be done. The concept's completed, and we've got a meeting in a couple of weeks, next week actually, with the community board to look at that, and then that'll be released to the public.
Okay.
For the eastern walkway, but I believe there's also some consenting that's just been finalised at the moment for that as well.
Okay, all right. And meetings and things reminds me of Manu Bay... breakwall there, the ongoing saga. Has someone pinned down the consultants to do their job yet?
No, raise it at the last community board meeting and ask one of their executive officers there to give us some feedback on what's going on, why this thing's been delayed and delayed again, because the consultants were meant to come back to us in January. We now have got a date, middle of March, so we're only really a week or two away from that. So hopefully we'll get some feedback in the next week.
I hope they're not consultants that are now required to fix up the East Coast.
I'm sure they'll have teams over there as well, but hopefully it won't impact on what's been done here, no.
Yeah, yeah. That would be... Yeah, are we ready for that over here? I guess no one's really ready for that.
For?
That level of flooding and damage. And...
Oh, no, for sure. It's extreme on what we've seen this year. Although when you think back to Cyclone Bola, we had some pretty an extreme weather event as well, and had a major impact on the East Coast in a similar vein, but probably not quite as much water.
Yeah,
that time round. But
I think that's the thing that's changing with climate change is the ability to have hotter, humid air down here is greater, and that seems to do a bigger dumping.
Yeah, I'm not a scientist, so...
I can get away with paraphrasing scientists, but I get you've got to actually be specific with what you're talking about. At the last community board meeting, there were community members there who'd heard that the proposed sewerage design for the land use treatment would be using some land near where they were, and they were looking to have some reassurance, I guess. I know it's only been a few weeks, and... people have still got a lot of work to do, but are they going to get a chance to learn more about it at some point?
Yes, they will. I think got the feeling that the Zoom meetings that they have, which they have every sort of two to three months, and that's the sort of thing, people can actually, the public can join into those Zoom meetings.
Okay.
And they just need to get a link, obviously, to them. So I can't see why they can't come and join into those, which are really just an update on where the process is at. It's not really giving too much detailed design on what's proposed or anything. But yeah, the guys there, Stephen, and that made it clear that there will definitely be discussions with all the landowners in the area once they've taken the design a bit further down the road.
Yeah, so we're talking about, it was people from Mangatawhiri Road. And so that land is definitely, is there definitely an agreement in place to use that land now?
Well, we never got that answer out of them, and I don't
believe.
Yeah, I don't believe anything's finalised as to where that land disposal will be at this stage.
Okay. There, I mean, obviously there's quite a bit of negotiation to go on with any potential landowners about how that's going to work, and then investigation. People were concerned about boars. Would their boars on their farms be, or their livestock blocks be affected? So a lot of questions to answer.
Yeah, well, anyone with a boar down, and we had a boar, we were out at Mangakin, at Tiuku, you're obviously going to be pretty concerned that your boar's not going to be contaminated and things like that. And some boars are only down 30 or 40 metres.
Yeah.
They're not far underneath, you know, the soil, really.
Yeah, yeah. The I think it will, it's not like it's going to, they're not going to be putting raw sewage on the land, is it? Like, it's still going to be treated.
Yeah, it'll be still treated. To what extent, I don't know, but I assume it'll be to the same level that it is when it's discharged into the harbour at the present time.
Yeah, and I did say on the land, but they were very specific that it would be
under,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, because people are concerned about smells as well, for obvious reasons. Okay, so that's still ongoing and kind of slow moving, which I guess we should expect with something like that. One of the things that came out of that discussion was that there were, I think someone in council had decided if they're going to be putting some sewage infrastructure, that they need to have a reasonable idea of where other council infrastructure, like roads, is going to go as well, and that there was some work being done on that. I can't remember if we were going to get to see the results of that work and when that would come out.
No, the planning people were there, but they were a bit, dare I say, elusive on actually what they've got planned and what's being discussed.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was talking to one landowner up there the other day, and, you know, there are discussions of roads going through from Wainui Road to Tūruwai Road up to Mangatawhiri and things like that. So,
yeah, like a bypass around the town, basically.
Yeah, but for anyone on that western side, you can actually come out up at Mangatawhiri somewhere, although thinking about that, that would be a bit challenging.
I think it would have to be by the intersection. It'll be the easiest way to arrive, but yeah, but that's, so there's, but that's for the experts to try to figure out what's possible, isn't it?
Yeah, it is indeed. But we want, as a community board, I'm keen for us to sort of get more involved in having an understanding of what's being discussed,
yeah,
and that sort of thing, and how that may impact people and things like that. Because otherwise, you just get people hearing rumours, and we are not in a position to be able to, you know, say one way or another what's really going on.
Yeah, and there were people at the last community board meeting asking, is there a deal being done in the background here that we don't know about? And you may not have been in a position to actually answer the question in all reality.
No, well, we're not party to any of that sort of discussion.
Yeah.
And things like that. So, no, we don't know what's going on any more than the local residents.
Yeah, and that's and that brings us back to the wider discussion of a structure plan for the town, like an overall plan for the town. And at the moment, it's basically developers working with councils that are determining where our town's going. I always want to say, I'm not trying to point the finger at developers. Developers are always going to develop. That's always going to be ongoing. It's up to council and the community to actually decide, you know, to put a structure in place to make sure the development happens where we want, isn't it?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of other development that the community wants in sports fields, playgrounds and things like that, that the developer is probably aware of but really doesn't really want to donate the land for those sorts of things. So there needs to be some discussion at a very early stage of any development on what community facilities needed to be included within that development, particularly if it's going to cover, you know, 120-odd hectares or something like that. Within that, there needs to certainly be playground sports fields for kids to run around in, that are flat, not the side of a mountain, and not wasteland that can't be built on. It needs to be flat land that's suitable for a soccer field or a rugby field in the future or something like that. Squash courts, you name it.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, I mean, because I think we have to keep in mind that we're looking at projections of a population of 12,000 in the urban area in 50 years' time, 2070. So,
yeah,
so which seems unimaginable, but.
Yeah, and that's why we need to consider what facilities we need going on. And there'll be facilities that we don't presently have, you know, such as your squash courts and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. All right. You've kind of made it a mission, haven't you? Well, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Getting it, you'd like to see a structure plan for the area, wouldn't you?
Yeah, no, I definitely would like to see some work done around that. You know, other areas like Ngarrawa here and Te Kawhara have things like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, the question is, why hasn't Raglan got one? We're as fast a growing area as any of those, and we need to be able to manage the growth, not just let it happen around us.
Should we just make one ourselves and then give it to council and say, here it is?
Well, you could probably do that reasonably successfully, Aaron,
yeah.
With a few of your contacts. I'm sure you could.
Yeah, we'll do a ring round and see what we can get together. Hey, the Lorenzen Bay walkway situation, has there been progress down there? Just to remind people, some council staff thought that the walkway that goes from Cambray Road down there was not fit for purpose, and we're trying to create a new one, which was going to come out along the cliff edge, probably quite close to where that slip happened, actually.
Two things here. Lorenzen Bay Walkway is the way. There's a Lorenzen Bay Walkway which connects Lorenzen Bay to Greenslade Road, which is finished. The one you're talking about is that comes out on Cambray Road runs along. Yeah, comes out onto Cambray Road.
So we've got to be careful with the names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that sort of ground to a halt a little bit with all the things that have been happening around there at the present time, because we had the slip on Cambray Road itself.
Yes.
Which the Alliance has now repaired, although it's not quite finished, but they've put some concrete blocks in there to stabilise the land and then built the road back up.
Yeah.
And also we've had the slip on the foreshore. So... in answer to your question, no, not a lot's happened in the last 4 weeks, 6 weeks on that one, but it's still on the books, and we'll still follow it through on behalf of all the local people around there.
Yeah, okay. And I know another thing that people have been concerned about rurally is the Canadian geese situation. And I know in previous times I've talked about this. This is one of those things that falls in this. So which local body, or is it a government body that's responsible for sorting this mess out? For those who don't know, too many Canadian geese messing up the farms, basically.
Well, I guess it's the farms, and also the fact that they're now camped on the foreshore, and they do eat the small fish and things like that.
Yeah.
But also, I think most residents in Raglan would have heard them in the evenings flying across the top of their house. I certainly have.
Yeah.
And they've definitely become more pronounced in the last 12 months even.
Right.
There's still a lot of debate on how to manage them, what to do with them. In Huntley, they had them on the soccer field there, and they wanted to poison them. Waikato District Council wanted to poison them, and all the residents got up in arms and says you can't poison them and kill them.
Well, probably not all the residents, but too many.
Yeah, enough to put council off.
Man, I wouldn't want to be playing soccer or with geese poo. I'd be like around the lake in Hamilton where you can't walk with bare feet.
Yeah, well, my kids used to sail a yacht in Hamilton Lake, and they all survived and still live to this day.
Well, this is true. You do survive. Yes, you
are. The Canadian geese is... answer your question, I don't know whether it sits with district council or regional council, but it's certainly becoming a bigger and bigger problem. You know, they've had a couple of culls, and maybe we've got to look at what they do in Saskatchewan and Canada and that sort of thing with the geese. When they migrate, they have big culls then.
Do they?
Yeah.
Even when it's their native territory.
Yeah, so maybe we've got to look at something like that and have a big cull to get the numbers down to a reasonable level, but it's who will take responsibility for that, and then how do we manage that through the media and informing people there is actually a good reason for doing it.
Yeah. And, okay. We'll move on from that. The next community board meeting, when's that?
Good question.
Not next week then, I presume.
It's not next week. We've got to have the papers in by the end of next week, so it must be the following week.
Okay, all right, yeah.
Round about the 16th of March, but don't...
Yeah, I would say that seems like a reasonable guess to me. Yeah, a couple of weeks away. Other things you've been working on, Dennis, at the moment?
Probably just for people's information, there are a couple of bylaws out for consultation at the moment.
Yeah.
One's the traffic bylaw, which is about how we manage the traffic in the district, and that's out for consultation. The consultation closes on the 27th of March.
So we just had stuff happen with some speed signs were changed recently, and that was part of some bylaw review or something, but so it's obviously not going to be about speeds, the traffic bylaw. So what would it be about? Do we know?
The traffic bylaw covers things like shared zones, heavy traffic, engine braking, one-way streets, those sorts of things. It covers things like riding of wheeled vehicles like skateboards and scooters in town areas and things like that.
Okay.
So it's trying to make each of the sort of urban areas throughout the districts the same. At the moment, there's quite a few differences and things like that. So it covers those sorts of things.
Okay, the council staff like consistency in the administration, don't they?
Well, it's easier if you're trying to enforce something if you've got consistency, but then not all areas are the same.
No, it's no matter to us whether we're consistent with Huntley or not. Like, it's kind of a non-issue for the people on the ground.
Yeah.
Anyway, yep.
And the other one is the public places bylaw, which also covers the things like wheel vehicles and scooters and things like that. And I know there's some people that have talked about Lime scooters in town, and things like that. So I guess this is an opportunity for them to push that if that's the sort of thing they wanted within that bylaw.
Okay, all right. So we're not allowed those at the moment.
You're not allowed to ride a motorised scooter on footpaths in Raglan and things like that, which I found out because my kids have got a motorised scooter, my grandkids have got a motorised scooter that rode around Raglan West, along with several other people, but apparently not. So that's something we need to get looked at. The other thing that the public places bylaw covers is the use of footpaths by shops, you know, how much they can encroach on the footpaths and like that.
Yeah.
And also trading in public places and what the requirements are on that.
Oh, is that like if you set up a stall on the roadside or something?
Yeah, things like that. So it covers those things. So if people are interested in making a submission, those ones close on the 27th of March. They can be... If you go to the District Council website, all the information is available on the District Council website.
Okay, all right. If you want to know about those things, folks, don't forget about it. And please don't complain to us afterwards.
When
the rule change comes in. Oh, we hear a lot of that.
Yeah, well, they've effectively got 4 weeks. So, yeah, get out there and make your voice heard and tell us what your thoughts are.
Yeah. All right, Dennis, that's everything, I think.
Probably the only other thing is Sound Splash review, just for people that are
Of course, you had that.
We've had a review with the events team. And the events team is meeting with the Sound Splash people in March, and then they're coming back to the community board with what their recommendations will be. But I think this time around we'll be seeing some severe pressure go on the organisers to sort out some of the issues, particularly around traffic management and health and safety of the people attending Sound Splash, particularly on that very first day.
Right, you're talking about when they're in the car park getting in the queues.
Yep.
I know there was an attempt to put some shade there, but I guess it's a continual process of refinement to try and get it right.
Well, I think, you know, you've got to address the problem. It's a problem that's been there virtually every festival, and it hasn't been addressed. So now, you know, going forward, I think the community board's view is either address it or you go away, or make the festival a 5,000 or 3,000 person festival that's manageable.
Okay, all right. Thanks for coming in, Dennis.